Good to see you this morning. God bless you. If you're a guest with us at Hope Church, first-time guest, we're honored to have you. Thank you for coming. We give you anonymity, which basically means hang out and hide out, make yourself at home. We'll not ask you to say or do anything to draw attention to yourself. We're just glad you're here. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I want to give a public shout-out to Greg Hand. I heard he did a fantastic job ministering last Sunday. Amen. Fantastic. I actually had the opportunity to minister in London, so I was gone, and glad to be back. And I just want to know one thing. Who's been praying for snow? Come on, stand up. One of you. My wife has been telling me as I've been in England, and it's about 40, 50 degrees. Oh, it's 70 degrees. Oh, it's 80 degrees. And I'm like, whoa, finally. I was actually looking at my app. I got like 4 weather apps because during the winter time, you got to have a bunch just to find the truth. And I'm looking at the best one I have. And I'm looking at it and it says light rain. And I look out the window and it's snowing. What is up with that? What is it? Crazy. Crazy. I had a fantastic time. It was on the ground in London for about 6 days. Went to about six, seven services. Preached in 2 of them. Sunday morning, Sunday night. It was a conference type of vibe during the weekend. I had a great opportunity to make some connections. You know, it's a cool thing is no matter where you're at, in the States, in the Philippines, in England, the Holy Spirit is still the Holy Spirit. Jesus is still Jesus. The presence of God is still. And that's the cool thing that binds all of us together, does it not? And it was a wonderful trip. Saw several people get ministered to as far as salvation, had a great time preaching the word. I had to play with them a little bit because it's amazing how we see them and how they see us. And they just see us all as gunslingers. I don't know if they watch too many Westerns. It's the wildest thing. It was a common thing was like we carry guns and we're shooting everybody and we eat at IHOP all the time. You ask why? I have no idea. Why IHOP is so important to them, and that we drive Mustangs and trucks. I just don't understand, but that's okay. Because what brings us together is a lot more important than what separates us. So I even had a little fun with them, and I don't know if they knew how to take me, but at one of the services, because they're, English people, God love them. And now I know why we left. No, I'm joking. And so I just made a flippant comment that it, one time I wanted a response, and they're not really responsive typically to anybody. And so I got them to say amen, and I said, can I get a better amen? And I got a little better amen. I said, don't mess with me. I'm American. I carry a gun. But I got a lot better response after that point. So true story. True story. And what is really a question that I was getting a lot, And even from strangers walk up and start talking to me, and they say, I'm trying to identify your accent. And I'm like, I don't have an accent. You're the one with the accent. But I was surprised right at the very beginning, strangers coming up and asking me about our politics. Yeah. I was like, really? Yeah. And they have just a perspective over there by what the media tell them. And I want to talk about that a little today, folks. Now it's getting quiet. Say, God is good.
God is good.
But I want you to know that there is greater that binds us together than what separates us. Amen. Just not from country to country, but from individual to individual. As a pastor, if you've been around for any length of time when we've done any political situation, you know that I don't tell people how to vote. I don't think that's my position or right. We encourage our stance is to encourage people to get information. Just don't believe everything you read on the internet. Must be true. Someone typed it on Facebook. Get information, pray, ask for the Lord to guide you, and then vote. That's your American right. But I want to bring this in the context of how God sees it. Because if we're not careful, we will. And and if you've been around, you've noticed certain things that have happened throughout history. And I've encouraged you, never be sucked into the drama. Anytime you feel yourself emotionally, I watched one video on Facebook and one guy said, if you vote for this candidate, then you hate America. Really? Really? All this emotionally charged stuff. dialogue, drama that people are being pulled into. You can be excited or motivated about what you believe politically. That's a good thing. But don't let the media suck you emotionally into the drama, because that's when we start dividing, getting separated. Did you hear me? It's our freedom of speech, which is a precious thing, that you can love somebody that's next to you that disagrees with you, right? And they have a right to disagree and have a whole different view than you do. And yet it seems like it's getting so, there's probably more people being unfriended on Facebook or other social. I don't agree with them, unfriend. And that's a cool thing, you do whatever you want. I mean, that doesn't dictate eternity. But what does that I think the devil uses is that he'll use things like this to challenge things beneath the surface of where our character lies. And we can start seeing ourselves go down the wrong path. Because if you do it in this area, what about that area? And then what about this area? And all of a sudden we find ourselves waking up one day, how'd I get here? The Bible wants me to walk this path. But now I find myself going down this path. How'd I get here? And I think the media is a powerful tool that can be used for good or bad. Just don't let yourself get sucked into it. What does the Bible say about all this stuff? Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you. What an honor it is to be back. Lord, I thank you for all that you have been doing in our lives and in this ministry. I thank you for the lives of every person here. Each person with their own uniqueness, destiny, purpose, assignment, created by you. I ask you, Father God, just to minister, encourage, touch, whatever and wherever they're at in their journey, whatever they need. I just pray that something would be said or done by you to minister to them, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to direct them, to help them, whatever it might be, so that they can continue following that course of destiny that you have for them. And we give you the praise. We give you the glory and the honor. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Good or God? We need discernment to define what is good, because everything that looks good is not good. Everyone that looks good might not be good. Every deal that looks good might not be good. Every purchase that sounds good. Have you ever had a good salesman and they made something sound amazing? You're like, I gotta have it. And you buy it, and then later, like, what was I? Just because it looks good at the moment doesn't mean it is good. King Solomon in the Old Testament challenged everything I say with the Bible, because it's the Bible that we stand on and is the perfect line that we evaluate everything. Can I get an amen to that? Can I get a better amen to that? Don't mess with me. I'm American. I carry a gun. And so, amen, Pastor. Okay, so even Solomon, the wisest man, prayed for an understanding heart to discern between good and evil. It's a tactic of the devil that used against Eve to make something that looked good, but it really wasn't something the devil was trying to get to, or the real truth was there was something he was trying to get from her. The devil doesn't play fair. The devil doesn't play fair. He'll make some stuff look appealing, interesting, shiny. I have to have it. And he's not trying to give you something. He's trying to take something that you have. John 10:10, the thief has come to steal. That means you have something. Say, I have something. Say, I have something. You have, there is stuff you have that you're still discovering what you have. In the spiritual growth of your individual as a son or daughter of God, you begin to discover, as you grow spiritually, you begin to discover the things that God has already prepared for you. You have something. You might not be aware of all that you have, but you have some amazing things that God has built in into your life, into your spirit, into your giftedness, your anointing, your character, your relationship with him. And the devil doesn't like it, and he wants to steal it from you, and he tries to offer us bad imitations, hoping we'll reach for it. Because just because something looks good doesn't mean it is good. We've discovered in a quick review that the source of goodness starts with God. God is good. And he doesn't withhold, Psalms 84, verse 12, he doesn't withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. He's a good God, so good that Jesus said, don't even call me good, there's none good but one. And when you understand that the point of goodness starts with him, and that he's generous, then you understand that anything good that God that is coming from, anything that comes from God is going to be good. And anything the devil tries to give you that looks good but takes you from God is not good. Well, I'm the best you're going to ever get, but if you're going to go to church, I'm going out the door. Bye. Because that individual in your life is not that good. Anything that would take you from God's presence is not that good. But I want. Yeah, you're in a position of weakness. Never negotiate in a point of weakness. Anybody who does well on deals knows you always negotiate in a point of strength. And if you're not at a place of a strength, don't negotiate. What does that mean? If you're dealing with a relationship, don't try to make the decision while you're hurting emotionally. Get yourself awake. Get yourself strong. Get yourself in a strength position. You see clearly. And then all of a sudden, you can make wise decisions because at the end of the day, God is good. And his word will guide you into that goodness. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get a better amen?
Amen.
All right. Thank you. He's not only good, he's your God, he's generous, but also we're going to talk about the God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says this, and I broke it down to just part of the verse because I want to, he who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him, for God is love. God is what?
Love.
God is love. Say, God is love.
God is love.
I want you to know that God not only is love, he loves, but more than he loves, he is love. And that when in one of the patterns you see within the context of Scripture is that what God shares to those who are willing to receive it, not everybody wants to receive the love of God. Not everybody wants to receive the forgiveness of God. Not everybody wants to receive the grace of God. Not everybody wants to receive the blessing of God. Not everybody wants to receive the peace of God. Hey, all these things are who he is, not what he has. And God is generous, and it's available to anybody who's willing to receive, can I get an amen?
Amen?
But to those who receive, he doesn't want you to just keep it. Jesus said it this way, freely received, freely give. So really the big picture kind of idea is that your Heavenly Father is your all-sufficient, he's generous, he's gracious, he's good, and what he brings into your life, he wants you to not only receive it, he wants you to share it. He said to Abraham, which we've adopted this phrase, you're blessed to be a blessing. God is love. And when we receive his love, he wants us to respond by sharing that love. I want to look at two different areas that he wants us to be responsive to his love. And the first one's obvious, and we see this out of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2, verse 9. If you're taking notes, write it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says this. But on the contrary, Amplified translation, so it's a little louder. On the contrary, you guys are slow this morning. On the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made, and keeps ready. Back to that thought. God has some stuff for you already. You might not be aware of it, but he wants you to be aware of it. Has entered the heart of man. All that God has prepared, made, and keep. I'm so glad that he keeps it ready for you and me. I just got to stop there for a second. Praise God, it's not like, okay, you missed it. You snooze, you lose, and you know what I mean? Somebody else got it. No, he keeps it. Even if I miss it or you miss it, he keeps it ready. Have you ever had somebody cooking you dinner and they're like, I'll keep it ready, keep it hot, keep it so when you get here, it'll be ready for you. Whatever, all that God has for you, he's keeping it and he's keeping it. Say, he's keeping it ready.
He's keeping it ready.
Say, he's keeping it ready,
For me.
That's good. He keeps it ready for those who love him. Those who what?
Love him.
Go ahead and take that verse down for a second. I'm going to ask you an important question. Just go back to the graphic. Those who love him, he keeps it ready. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither entered the heart of man. The things that God has prepared keeps ready for those who love him. How many people love Jesus today? Isn't that awesome? But you know, we start asking, what does it mean? What does it look like to love Jesus? You know, I bet if we line people up and give you a piece of paper and say, write down, what does it mean? Do you love Jesus? Yes, check mark. What does that mean? I bet we start getting different answers, don't we? Because different people can come up with different ways. This is how I show my love for Jesus. I remember growing up in church, and this is not a bad thing, and this is not a wrong thing, by the way. But at different ages of time, if you look historically, there's always a different emphasis. And when I was growing up, and it's still a good thing, so don't misunderstand. But when I was growing up, you showed your love for Jesus by being in the house of God every time the doors are open. Anybody remember that day, those days? It's like, if there's church, you better be there. If you love Jesus, you better be there. But we usually don't have church on that night, and we have special meetings. And if you love Jesus, you better be there every time the doors. Remember that? And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. That's a good thing. Coming to church is a good thing. And that kind of went into, if you love Jesus, then you're going to have a cause. You remember that phase? Better be out in the community. You have to have a cause. You love Jesus. You better help somebody, and that's a good thing. It's amazing how the church kind of progresses through different emphasis on if you love Jesus, this is how you're going to show it. If you love Jesus, then you're going to get caught up in worship, and you're going to cry and sob, and if you love Jesus, right? That's a good thing. But we can come up with all these different things on, if we love Jesus, then I'm going to, let's see what this verse says. I like how it says, because it's all good. Okay, throw that verse back up. But on the contrary, but as Scripture says, what eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made, and keeps ready for those who love him, who love him, Amplified adds, who hold him in affectionate reverence. That's number one. That's a good thing, experiencing the presence of God. A lot of people can fit into that. I love Jesus because they feel love toward Jesus. But sometimes we stop with that. I love Jesus because I feel it when I worship and I sing Kumbaya, Lord. Tears are flowing. Yes, Lord. And I'm telling you what, I love those experiences personally. When I feel the presence of God and it's overwhelming. A song I was listening to earlier this morning, I was getting ready, is that the Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Flood this place and fill the atmosphere. I love when the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, fills the room and you just feel overwhelmed, and just the presence of God is so awesome. That is wonderful. And it's great that we can come to church and experience that. It's great in your own prayer closet you can experience that. And for many of us, that's the definition of how we love the Lord. But if we don't see the big picture, we'll stop there. And there's even more to that. That's an important piece to have that experience. But notice it says, for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, number two, promptly obeying him. That kind of adds a little more to it. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? Because I know some people who love Jesus and they can cry and weep at the altar or during a good anointed song or anointed experience and yet leave and don't serve him. Leave and go out and commit sin. Leave and have an affair. And you think, what's the matter? Those people were just weeping and crying. Why are they living in sin? Because they have an affectionate relationship with them in their love, but they don't promptly obey. They have no reverence for his word. Can you imagine having where you children come up to you and say, I love you, and they hug you, and your heart warms up, and you say, I need you to do these, and they just blow you off. Yet I think a lot of God's children do that. We'll sing and we'll cry. But Lord, I'm going to do my life my way. Wow. We looked at that last time I spoke, talking about Jesus. If you're going to follow me, pick up your cross and follow me. Don't live life your way. It doesn't mean life's a struggle. That's not what's being said. That's what a lot of ministers will say, but they're out of context. Because if you look at the context of Jesus' life and ministry, he said, cast your care upon me, for I care for you. My burden, my yoke are easy and light. That's not struggling and suffering. God wants you to excel. God wants you to do great. God doesn't mind you having stuff. He doesn't want stuff to have you. He wants to be number one. His presence in your life should be number one. And what happens is we can come in for the experience of his presence and the affection of that moment. And if we're not careful, say, oh, I love Jesus. I just had a good emotional time, and not promptly obey him. What is he telling you to do? Not what is someone telling you, but he's telling you to do. What is the Lord? Isn't it amazing how the Holy Spirit is so amazing that you don't need another person to tell you? I mean, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your heart, if you're spending time with the Lord and you're spending time in the Word, it's amazing when the Holy Spirit starts convincing you, convicting you of something. He doesn't condemn, he convinces. But sometimes you wonder, oh, Jesus, help me. If you have someone that's kind of like an accountability partner, and that became real popular a few years ago, and they have their place, but if it's all about an accountability partner, you can lie to your accountability partner. Right? And people who do that will justify it because lying is not near as bad as the sin that they're hiding. I mean, if you're committing adultery, lying to your accountability partner is not that big of a sin because you're already so deep now. But you can't lie to the Holy Ghost. See, that's why the goal is not for you to live the convictions that God's given me. The goal is for you to have that connection and a relationship with Jesus and have a conscience that is clear and your heart is right. And because when you lay your head on your pillow, you know from that perspective that things are right. When you're walking with the Lord, I mean, if you mess up some area, he has a way of seeing it all. And you'll have people say, no, you're doing good, but on the inside, there's no peace. And he's like, no, you know that's not right. Come on, somebody. Anybody else? Okay. For those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, who promptly obey him, catch this, third, important, and gratefully recognize the benefits he's bestowed. Gratefully recognize. You can have those experiences with him, and you can obey his word. But you know what happens with generous people who aren't generous is they don't recognize that what God's given them. Why people aren't generous, I believe, is not because they're bad people. And generosity doesn't start and stop with your tithes and offerings. Are you listening to me? Generosity is a character. It's a fruit of who you are. Connected out of a relationship with God. Your generosity shouldn't start and stop in a church service. You could, because if it only starts and stops in a moment of a service and then you're stingy somewhere else, then that just tells me you're faking it till you make it. Right? I mean, just take that characteristic out and replace it. Kind, be kind. If you're kind only at church and not kind outside of church, then you're really not a kind person. Because if you're a kind person, you're going to be kind in church and you're going to be kind outside of church, right? If you're a forgiving person, you're forgiving when you're in the walls of the service or outside the walls. It just doesn't matter. I'm only forgiving to church people on a church Sunday. Oh, don't mess with me on Monday, right? If it's who you are, then it's who you are wherever you're at. And I've noticed that people that aren't generous, it's not that they're bad people. I believe they haven't come to the reality, the realization of all that God's given them. Because when you realize that, all that God's bringing into your life, then you'll have the attitude, freely receive, freely share. It doesn't mean you give to everybody, everything, because the moment you go down that road, only the first person gets something from you because you've done emptied the tank, right? And then you're into the point of silver and gold have I none but what I have, right? But I've given all that away to the person I just met 10 minutes ago. No, follow the direction of God. But there's a thing about in our love for God, we come to the realization of just not only have an affectionate reverence, promptly obeying, but also recognizing the benefits. But I work hard. I know, but God's giving the strength, the ability, the opportunity. Just a benefit from God doesn't mean it just shows up on your front porch with no signature. God wanted me to give you this. Praise God if that happens. That's a great story, but that don't happen as often as we want it to happen. and starting to see what God's brought in our life, because the devil will want you to see what God hasn't brought into your life. That was the mentality of Israel. Everything that God did to get them out of slavery and move them along to the promised land, and yet they kept seeing why things weren't the way they wanted them to be. Well, God brought us out here to die. We're hungry. Okay, here's manna. The God, I'm getting tired of manna. Talk about some complaining. Now, sometimes we can be that way. When we start complaining, we become bitter. When we become bitter, we become critical. We become critical, we'll start dividing and tearing each other up. Thank you. Now I can move on. Somebody's. When it's that quiet, I just got to let the Holy Ghost do what only the Holy Ghost can do. You let me know when I can start again. Our response of love. Notice this. And let's see how it continues. Let's see how it continues. Let's go to the last verse if we can. Look at this screen. If you merely love, this is Jesus talking. If you merely love those who love you, what quality of credit and thanks is that to you? For even the very sinners love their lovers, those who love them. I like it. Do we have a second part of that verse? Let's throw that up there. Don't leave me hanging here. Whoa, there we go. But love your enemies and be kind and do good, doing favors so that someone derives benefit from them, and lend it expecting and hoping for nothing in return, but considering nothing as lost and despairing for one another, just, then your recompense, your reward will be great, rich, strong, intense, and abundant. And here's my emphasis. And you'll be sons of the Most High, for he is kind and charitable and good to the ungrateful and the selfish and the wicked. God wants us to be unselfish. God wants us to do benefit to other people. And folks, if we only love those who love us, we're just like the world. Let me say it this way. If you only love those who love the political party that you're in, I told you I was going to come back around. If you only love those who agree with you, even if you know that you're right and they're completely wrong, love them, pray for them, but don't break relationship with them. If you only walk with those who totally agree with you, very quickly, you're going to walk by yourself. I don't even know a married couple where they both totally agree on everything. Can you imagine? I'm going to marry you, but the moment we disagree, we're out. That would change the vows, wouldn't it? Because we know in that broader perspective that that's not what God wants. That's really not how it works. We can love each other and pray for each other. And especially in life, which tends to be very complex. Most people want to see everything simple, but life tends to be very complex. And major decisions tend to be very complex. And people will gravitate to one central or two central thoughts of a certain stream and say, I'm right because of this. And someone will take a different posture and position. And we can walk together even if we disagree with the person next to us or sitting behind us, because the reality is there's something greater that binds us than what separates us. Don't be sucked in the drama. Even if you wish everybody voted the way you do, they won't. Pray for them. Pray that God opens their eyes. That's a prayer. It's in the Bible. Pray the eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know. Pray that God opens your eyes. Maybe there's something you don't see. Because no one's perfect, because the goal is not to be perfect. The goal is to progress, to grow. And oh my goodness, I look at this and it's become such emotionally charged conversations happening. Look at the positive side. Number one, I think we're hitting a whole new record as how many people that are involved in politics right now. There's a big discussion right now, usually in March, right? Most people don't even think about politics in March, even in an election year. Wait till we get to October. November 1st, you're like, who's running? Somebody had never even voted before. I encourage you to vote. It's your American right. Don't let anybody take that away from you. And my opinion, you might disagree, my opinion is if you never vote, don't complain. Don't. You say, but every time I vote, my vote don't count. Somebody else is going to get it. But at least be part of the process of trying. Right? And if that's not good enough and you don't feel that's good enough, get involved. I know we have one member, I don't know if she's here in the first service, Connie Harge. She comes to the third. Okay. She is running for the Ferguson-Florissant School District to be on the board. She's doing something. It's easy to complain about something or get mad at somebody about something, but it's another ballgame to do something. Yeah, be involved. Vote. It's your American right. And I learned this years ago. This will help you. If you ever call your alderman, say, I need something, secret, are you ready? They're going to take your name, and they're going to check to see if you ever vote. And if you never vote, they probably won't call you back. But if they see, I'm being honest because there's so many people complain. But if they see that you vote consistently, you're going to get their ear. Didn't realize that, did you? This is practical. But it's your American right to vote at all levels. People disagree, that's okay. Pray for them. If that's not enough for you, get involved. So be American, vote. But even more important, be Christ-like. Amen. And love. Amen. And don't let people suck you into the emotions and the drama. I mean, I've had people come up to me, who are you going to vote for? Is the five most contentious question right now, five most contentious words. People are getting into war over this. You don't have to tell people who you're going to vote for. There's nowhere it says. That's why the booth is individual and quiet. I mean, that's why you don't have to agree with everybody. You can talk about principles. You can talk about policies. But I have never seen a presidential election at this stage, at this time frame, get so intense, right? And that they are slamming each other and accusing each other. And I mean, it's almost like a comedy show sometimes. I'll be honest with you. It makes for good ratings. Everybody's wondering who's going to say what to the next person. It doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever. At the end of the day, get information, pray, and vote. And then start loving people. Love people. And let us show by our attitude, comments, texting, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter accounts or tweets show that we have a higher standard. And if you don't want to do that, that's between you and Jesus. Just hashtag another name of a church. Would you do that for me? Would you do that? I'll give you a whole list of churches you can hashtag. Hashtag, this is my church. You know what I mean? It's okay. But let's not only be American, let's be Christian. Let's be Christ-like. Loving God and loving people. Even when it's sometimes hard, because I'll tell you, if you get real with real people, sometimes it's not easy, it's not warm and fuzzy, and sometimes you just have to bite your lip and not say anything, and you just want something bad to happen to them. Please, Jesus. At least let the fleas of 1,000 camels rest in their bed tonight. They don't deserve. But he is kind and gracious to the thankful and the unthankful. Start living that way. And Jesus said, and your reward will be great in heaven because you value people more than a moment, more than a problem, more than a political situation. You love Jesus, and therefore that expression is you're loving people. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done.